Morning, honorable members, minister. As is customary in this committee, the first business we usually attend to is to elect an acting chairperson. Today being no different, that's the first thing we're going to do. Can I immediately call for nominations for that position? Honorable Chivas?
I hereby nominate in the name of Honorable Muruta to be the chair of the day.
And the second? Honorable Smale?
Yes, I second it, sir.
Any objections? No objections. I take it there are no abstentions. On that note, it gives me great privilege to ask Honorable Marutua to take the seat.
Thank you very much for having confidence in me. I hope you are going to, I'm going to chair this meeting efficiently as possible. And I think we will start on our agenda. I don't know whether everyone has got an agenda in front of them. We have these 7 items on the agenda, which are welcoming apologies, briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture, deliberations, adoption of minutes, and any other business and closure. May I ask from the honorable members whether we can do this after we have had the deliberations, the adoption of the minutes, as we usually do it in committees. Is this fine in this manner? To the honorable members.
I think Honorable Chair, that will be fine.
Thank you very much. Then we can proceed. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to the Department of Arts and Culture. And first of all, I think we should welcome and congratulate our minister, Minister Paul Masatile, who has been appointed the Minister of Arts and Culture. And I don't know whether we have our deputy. Okay. And our deputy minister, who is also here, Honorable Pasane. Is that the correct surname? Thank you, guys. I think we have to really receive them in a proper manner. I think we should give them a hand and congratulations. Thank you very much. And we do welcome everyone here and the committee. I suppose we don't know each and everyone who is here. Can we have introductions? Starting with the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Zeni Swabaduza. I'm the Acting Director General of Arts and Culture.
Me, my name is Mike Rennie, and I'm the Acting CFO. Joe Passa, the new Deputy Minister for Arts and Culture.
Good morning. My name is Pumzile Semalela. I'm head of the Office of the Deputy Minister.
Honorilo PDA.
Jacques Smaller, DA, member of this portfolio.
Zoyipile Ndapane, UDM, member of this committee.
Hilda Mfuli, the member of this committee.
Eunice Nyalongo, ANC, from Mpumalanga, member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Montumo Malo, member of the committee. Thank you.
Chirase Togowane, member of this committee from the Great Limpopo.
Thank you, Madam K. Louise Graham, Head of International Relations at the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Pesim Chumkulu, the Parliamentary Liaison Office.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Minister. And Abdallah Driscoll from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Lisa Combrink, the Head of Communications in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning. I'm Mbulelo Jobweni, Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, Musitemba Dima, Department of Arts and Culture.
Morning, Honorable Members. Kiorapet Kwesitile, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm Lula Mandalangulu from the Ministry of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Dodi Kwalevi, Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, my name is Doyle Kassam from the Office of the Deputy Minister.
My name is Story Murutwa. I think I've been introduced already. Thank you.
Now I think we should get down to
business. We have apologies here on the agenda. Do we have any apology? We have apologies from Honorable Maluleka. Any other apology? Nothing. I suppose today we are going to have a briefing. That is the third item by the Department of Arts and Culture. The presentation will be done by... Okay. So we'll give this... opportunity to the Arts and Culture Department to give us their departmental report. This is supposed to be an annual report, isn't it? Okay. Thank you. Then I can you may start.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. It's with pleasure that we present to you our annual report for the period 2009 and 2010, and if I may say up front that we are privileged and honored to come and present to you, and that it is with pride to present to you a report that had been audited by the Auditor General and had been unqualified. We looked at, when preparing for this presentation, we looked at last year, and when we looked at President Zuma's State of the Nation address of delivered in June last year, we couldn't help but pick up what was said there that talks to the mandate of this department, the issue of promoting unity in diversity, the issue of developing a shared value system, the issue of building a common national identity and patriotism. And we are mindful of the fact that that is a tall order. It's something that we have to, as a department, ensure that we achieve on. But also when the minister then in June, in her budget vote speech, the then minister, she spoke about our aim of creating a country where opportunities exist for all people to expand imagination and to use their creativity, as then being the Department of Arts and Culture, to create a better life for all. So it is against those backgrounds, Honorable Chair and members, that we are presenting this report to you. In terms of how we have structured the presentation, we'll go through what we believe to be the purpose of us being here to present. And yes, the general information about our vision and mission. And we'll also talk to the program performance in terms of our predetermined objectives. And we'll lift up the highlights on each of our programs for the past financial year. We'll talk briefly on the audit committee in terms of their report, which is lifted from the annual report, and we'll talk about our performance financially, and we'll finish off by indicating what has been reported in terms of our human resource management. On the performance, on the purpose of this presentation, Chair, allow me to say that, yes, we are obligated to come and brief the portfolio committee on the performance of the department, and that's what we wish to do here for the period 2009 and 2010, to give you an overview of what we have done in response to our mandate, but also most importantly for us is to also solicit your input on the strategic interventions that you feel we may require in order for us to continue to fulfill our mandate and achieve on our vision and mission. It's important, we feel it is really important that we get that type of input from the Honourable Members here. Our mandate is derived from the Constitution and from the preamble of the Constitution, and the vision, therefore, is for us to develop and preserve the South African culture, to ensure social cohesion and nation building, which is what was referred to by the Honourable President in his State of the Nation address in 2009. When developing our mission, if you look at our mission, it talks to the key programs that are that inform our delivery on our mandate. The first one being the promotion of arts and culture and mainstreaming its role in social development, what we call in our programs arts and culture and society. The next one being the development of our official languages, the 11 of them, enhancing linguistic diversity and that's related to one of our programs. And also we talk to the economic and other development opportunities that arts and culture can have both nationally and globally to ensure sustainability of the sector. We also talk to the issue of ensuring conservation and promotion of our cultural heritage. And lastly, we talk to archival, heraldic, and library services. So that's our mission, but it talks to the programs in which our department has divided itself in terms of delivering on its mandate. The legislative mandate, I won't go through it, but our programs are, we've got six programs, one being corporate services and the other five talking to the mission that I've referred to in the previous slide. Madam Chair, allow me then to lift the what we have picked up as our highlights in the 2009-2010 annual report with regards to corporate services, which provides the management and support services of the department. Last year, we were requested by the President to facilitate, as also as is our mandate, South Africans talking about the issue of social cohesion, what we mean by that, what is our understanding of social cohesion. We then had a colloquium in Durban on the 29th and 30th of October, and there were a number of issues that came out of that colloquium. The findings, we presented them to the colloquium took place in KZN, and we went out to our provinces and canvassed on the findings of the colloquium. But also from the corporate services, I must say, Madam Chair, that we had an organizational structure. We had undertaken an organizational development exercise in the department. And in February 2010, the Minister for Public Services concurred, and administration concurred with the structure that was presented to him. We had developed an HR plan, but we'll talk to that in when I talk about HR management. At the time of the end of the financial year, it was 85% complete, but I'm happy to say that as we speak, we have completed that HR plan. We saw an increase in senior management with the appointment of women to take positions in senior management, although we have not reached the 50% mark yet, but we are confident that in the coming financial year, we will do all that is in our powers to ensure that we have 15% of women in senior management. But also, as I indicated, we are proud to say that we have received an unqualified audit report during the current financial year, the period 2009 and 2010. Closely linked to still continuing with the corporate services or administration, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, our communication and marketing falls under this program, and we have conducted four Izimbizos where we gave an opportunity for our principals to engage with the constituencies in our sector. We also had a big one where the President himself consulted with our sector. We also have Cultural Laws Amendment Bill that was revised for final consultation as was requested by the Minister, but we can report to that in terms of how far we are in terms of our legislation. We have strengthened our internal audit unit because we believe that with a strong internal audit unit, then we can ensure that our year-end annual audit runs fairly smoothly. We have co-sourced internal audit with Susan Saluba, and we've got, as we speak, a three-year audit plan as well as an annual audit plan that they are rolling out. When it comes to Program 2, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, the strategic objective of that program is to ensure the development and promotion of arts and culture in society. And forming part of that is our management of our playhouses, our management of our community art centres. We also had the 2010 preparations for the 2010 World Cup that were housed in that program. We are happy to say that we have got a national policy framework that was approved for our community arts centers. Yes, we do have a challenge in terms of community arts centers and maintaining them and ensuring that they are vibrant. And because they are the competency of the provincial departments, we are engaging with the National Treasury to ensure that we assist as the National Department in ensuring that those community arts centers fulfill and realize the objectives that they were set out to do. We have also, Chairperson, placed in 8 schools 30 arts practitioners because we believe that we need to nurture the talent and develop the talent of artists at school level. And Mpumalanga has taken that challenge, and 8 of in 8 schools, 30 practitioners were contracted. Chair, I'm just highlighting, bringing out the highlights. We also engage in terms of ensuring that we promote African culture in our society. We engage in intergenerational dialogues between young men and women and the older men and women so that we can transfer skills and knowledge. And we've also successfully hosted with a joint initiative last year with the Ministry for Women, the Women's Day celebrations. We also hosted in February this year women in theatre from the SADC region, and that was held at the Market Theatre in Johannesburg. Moving forward, Honourable Chairperson and members, Program 3, as I indicated, is talk to National Language Services, and the role there is to develop and promote all the 11 official languages of South Africa and also enhance the linguistic diversity of the country. In doing that, Honourable Chair, we've got a shortage of language professionals, and we, towards addressing that, we are awarding bursaries and encouraging students to study languages so that when we implement language diversity and linguistic diversity in the country, we do have professionals that are assisting us in that regard. But also closely linked to that, we encourage the development of the provincial language policies. And Mpumalanga, once again, has done the consultations last year on the language policies, and the Northern Cape did develop a draft language policy. It's something that we're going to monitor and ensure that all the provinces do have language policies. The language services deals with translations and editing, our unit there. It deals with human language technologies, which talks to IT and languages and the use of IT to enhance the development of languages. And also it coordinates the development of terminology. And I must say that, Chairperson, in the financial year that we are reporting on, we developed a multilingual soccer terminology for the World Cup. And there was a booklet that was distributed so that even the presenters as well as journalists can access and use the terminology when they promote and report on the matches. Program 4 talks to cultural development and international cooperation, and it is a program that looks after our contribution as the arts and culture sector towards the economic development and economic growth of the country. We have cultural industries, your film industries, your design industries, your craft industries, your music industries, your production industries in terms of publications that are housed in that program. It's a vast program. Chairperson, they've got a great responsibility of ensuring that we develop those industries and that those industries contribute towards the economic growth of the country. But also it talks to international cooperation, so international relations. We have had new agreements signed between South Africa and Jamaica, Qatar, Ghana, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And also in her budget for speech this year, the previous ministers reported on our success in the MADEM 2010, that was held in France, where we were chosen as a country of honor. But also, Chairperson, we participated successfully in other African cultural festivals where we give our artists a an opportunity to showcase their products, both locally, globally, as well as within the continent. As I had alluded to the support that we gave to the South African Theatre Initiative in February this year. Moving on, Honourable Members, Honourable Chairperson, the Program 5 talks to the heritage promotion, where our crux is to ensure that we preserve, conserve, and promote our cultural heritage. That program is responsible for ensuring that we celebrate our heritage during the Heritage Month, and which culminates in a celebration on the 24th of September. And we must say that we did that successfully last year. But also we contribute, Chairperson, as the department, to the promotion of the Khoi heritage. And we were successful previously as the department jointly with to bring back the remains of Sarafatman. But also it did not stop there. What we did then was in the area of Hanji, we are going to put up a Sarafatman Center of Remembrance. In the period under review, we completed a design for that structure that is going to be put up. And also, Chair, I must report that we, in terms of that program, is also responsible for ensuring that our institutions have got proper corporate governance structures in place, and the minister did inaugurate the Freedom Park Council. Another issue that we had reported and presented on to the honourable members was the issue of the South African geographical names changes, and we are reporting here that during the period under review, 75 of those names were approved. What also we are happy to report about is the issue of the launch of the Underwater Cultural Heritage Educational Program, where learners from 9 provinces were introduced, thank you, to the underwater cultural heritage in Simonstown. We've got heritage on earth and heritage underwater, Chairperson. We're also looking at fulfill our mandate of developing a national policy on living heritage. We have also conducted a skills audit in the heritage sector, where we want to find out the number of heritage professionals we have. We are struggling again with, it's the same as language professionals, heritage professionals, and we would like to encourage and promote the young ones to take up studies in heritage, so that we are not found wanting when we have to preserve and conserve our heritage. Continuing, we are happy to say that the minister inaugurated a council last year in March 2010 for the Robben Island Museum, and allow me to say that Chairperson, with effect from Monday, a new CEO has taken up office at the Robben Island Museum, one of the important World Heritage sites that we have, of the 8 World Heritage sites that we have in the country. We also are proud to say that in South Africa, we have initiated in 2005 the African World Heritage Fund, which is a responsible for identifying the World Heritage Sites and submitting those to UNESCO in Africa as a whole. In South Africa, we only have 8, and we're looking forward to having more of our heritage sites being declared as World Heritage Sites. And that fund, Chairperson and Honourable Members, was declared as Category 2 Centre of the United Nations body. So it is doing very well. As far as archiving and library services and heraldic services are concerned, the objective of this program is to guide, sustain, and develop the archival and information resources of South Africa. We have got provincial archives, but we've also got a national archives. We are responsible for the national archives. For provincial archival services, we have devolved those to the provinces, so they are the competences of the province. By forming part of the achievements for the period that we are reporting on, We continue having annual oral history conferences, and the sixth one was held in October last year. But also we have Archives and Heraldry Week that we promote these services among schools so that young children are also aware of archival and heraldry studies. Also, we have community libraries that we have set up, and we're continuing to be responsible for community libraries, although in terms of legislation, they are the competency of the provinces. What we have done through conditional grants, Chairperson, as you would know, we then, as the national department, ensure that that funding is channeled through the provinces. We have, towards ensuring nation building, we promoting our symbols as part of heraldic services, and one of those is the flag, and we have, I would say, that distributed almost 21,000 flags, and we would like to continue to do that, Chairperson, to promote that as one of our symbols. Moving on to our performance in terms of financial performance, we were appropriated with 2.6 billion rands in the final in financial year 2009-2010, and we have reported an underspending of about 407,000 rands.
Million.
Million. Okay. 407 million. We went to the Standing Committee on Appropriation and explained ourselves in terms of the underspending. The majority of our underspending has been with regards to our capital works. We have got program plans in place to ensure that we improve on our spending in terms of our capital works budget. We have also had recorded the spending in terms of investing in culture. We had asked for the rollovers from Treasury, and we got about 18 million rands back, Chairperson and honorable members. That was due to a moratorium that was put. Investing in culture is a program that where we support projects in provinces to facilitate the development of work opportunities and alleviation of poverty. It's a very critical project for us. We had to put a moratorium on it because there were investigations that were undertaken, and I'm happy to say that we also sought the intervention of the Special Investigation Unit to assist us with that. But we received a rollover of 18 million rands, and now we're continuing with. We've got systems in place to ensure that we monitor and manage the distribution of funding to small and emerging craft heritage practitioners. As far as 2010 FIFA World Cup, as members are aware, we were given an amount of money for a period of 3 years. But because the World Cup was in June, we could not spend by the end of the financial year, which is 31st of March this year. However, we requested for Treasury to give us the rollovers, and we are happy to say that we did get that 12 million rand back from Treasury. The one on machinery and equipment is a small amount that we did not use in terms of purchasing equipment and machinery in the department. That Chairperson, is for information of you and members around what the audit committee is saying, but we are happy to say that we do have a very vibrant and effective audit committee, and that is guiding us, that is keeping us on our toes, that has ensured that we have got a risk register, and that has ensured that we've got an internal audit plan, a three-year plan, as well as a one-year plan. So we're happy to say that our audit committee is effective, Chairperson, and they have reported that they have approved the strategic plan, and that also the internal audit is functioning, Chairperson. As I indicated, the Auditor General has given us an unqualified audit report, but the areas to which our attention has been drawn And I want to mention the last one in terms of the presentation of the reported performance information. They call it the predetermined objectives, and whilst the Auditor General has been auditing us on those predetermined objectives without an opinion, we have to sharpen our presentation, especially of our targets and of our indicators, because there will soon come a time when they audit that information, they give an opinion. Chair, on human resources management, as I had indicated earlier, at the time of the end of the financial year by March 2010, 90% of our human resources management plan was completed. But I'm happy to report that since then we have finalized that and we have a full human resource management plan that was submitted to the Department of Public Administration, Public Service and Administration. We have reported a vacancy rate of 26.8% from the last audit, and I am confident to say that we are committed to ensuring that we reduce that. By the time we come here and report for this current financial year, we would have reduced that vacancy rate. We have advertised positions. We have got we have interviewed. We have conducted interviews. We're continuing with interviews as we speak. We've got scheduled interviews to fill some of the vacancies. But also we've got a new structure that has been conquered by the Minister of Public Administration, Public Services and Administration, as I indicated. We have conducted a treasury to seek funding so that we can roll out and implement that organizational structure, because Minister Baloyi has indicated that he concurs, but that we must ensure that we get money to fund the structure. That is just for information, Chairperson and honorable members, to give you an overview of the distribution of our workforce in terms of race and gender. Although it is indicated there that we have got 42.7% African females and 3.5%. If you look at the figures, one gets a sense that in the department we've got more males and more females than males. But I must say that as far as senior management is concerned, as I have indicated, we still are lacking in terms of females. And we are committed to ensuring that we do realize the 50% female and male constitution in terms of senior management. That is also for your information in terms of the terminations that we've had in the department. You will see that there is an issue of expiry of contracts. We have had a number of employees appointed previously on contract. And during the last financial year, we have since terminated all those contracts so that we don't continue employing people on contract basis and renewing their contracts and creating an expectation. But having said that, we now have a new establishment that has been approved by Minister Baloyi, and we are then going to fill those positions on an indefinite or permanent basis. Chair, that's a... Also, an indication of the vacancy rate per program, and members will note that at this point in time, we were reporting by the end of the financial year 26% vacancy rate in the heritage promotion program, and we were very worried about that because that's also one of our core mandates in terms of conserving and preserving our heritage. I'm happy to say that we have put systems in place. We've advertised a number of positions in that particular program or branch, and we hope that by the end of this financial year, we would have reduced that remarkably. This is an information on misconduct and disciplinary hearings that were conducted, and we have received some through the hotline, but also, as I indicated, there was a massive investigations around fraud and corruption, especially around the issue of the investing in culture, but that has been nearly finalized by now. We are moving ahead, and we've continued with that investing in culture program. As the department Madam Chair, honourable members, we have got public entities that we also are responsible for, and the following slides are going to indicate to you the audit outcomes of our public entities. Total of 25 public entities, with 21 having unqualified audit reports except for four. Six have got clean audit reports without any emphasis of matter. The four that had qualified audit reports, the Robben Island, the African Setal Museum in Pau, PACOS in Free State, and the National Arts Council, which is one of our funding bodies. But I'm happy to say that though they received qualified audits, my CFO would assist in explaining to members, but it is not significant or issues of magnitude that resulted to them getting the qualified audits. But we have got, I will talk to strategies that we have in place to ensure that we assist our associated institutions or public entities. Those are the ones that had an unqualified audit with emphasis of matter or other matters. And then the six are those that had completely clean audit reports. The issues that were most reported on in terms of our public entities are the issues that also affect us as well, which I alluded to, the predetermined objectives, the struggling in terms of setting up clear indicators and clear targets and therefore reporting against those, and also some transversal material misstatements on annual financial statements. But coming closely to that is what we are planning to do, or what we have been doing, is to ensure that we monitor closely their performance. But by requesting that when there have been audit outcomes, then they must give us what their strategies are in terms of what they're going to do to address those. But also we get quarterly reports in terms of their delivery on the strat plan, which then we have got a unit in the department that specifically looks at corporate governance of our institutions. And we have also, previously we had requested the Treasury to assist us, but now we're also going to the Office of the Auditor General to conduct workshops so that we can assist our public entities and ourselves in the meantime, in terms of ensuring that we either continue with receiving unqualified audits, and those that have qualified audits move out of that, so that we can come back next year and have all our public entities having received unqualified audits. We'd like to engage with those that we have referred to that had qualified audits, and some of them are issues that we can engage with and talk to in terms of reporting the gate incomes, for instance, African Setal Museum. So we'll go and sit down with them and engage and look at their systems and try and assist them, not try, but assist them in terms of improving their systems, so that they do not find themselves landing with a qualified audit. We will do everything possible to ensure that we assist our institutions. In conclusion, Madam Chairperson and honourable members, we committed to serving the South African community. We committed to ensuring that we deliver on our mandate. We will continue to improve on our service delivery. We would like to implement the approved structure so that we've got the foot soldiers as well to assist us in delivering on our mandate. As I indicated, we want to enhance corporate governance between ourselves and our institutions, and we'll continue to engage them, our entities. And also we would like to, we have been in terms of during the audit exercise that was done by the Auditor General, some of the issues of keeping proper records so that our assets are reflected properly, that those were highlighted, and we have engaged the services of a provider to assist us in ensuring that we've got a good system of record keeping, especially for our assets. We do have, as I indicated, a risk register now. We will continue to ensure that we manage our risks such that when the Auditor General comes next year to visit us, he finds our house in order. Thank you, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. That's it.
Thank you very much, Ms. Badiza, the acting OPG. I don't know whether I take it that that is a complete report from your department, yes, and we don't have anyone who wants to say anything or add something.
Not unless my principal would like to add. Thank you, Chair. With your permission, I'll allow the CFO to just explain the four public entities that received the qualified audit reports. What were the issues?
If we go, the four that we had was, first of all, Robben Island a Museum. Yes, they got a qualification, but it actually was a technical qualification based on the fact that they revalued the assets in the previous year and it had an effect. So you couldn't actually avoid that qualification. So we went from a disclaimer in 2007-08 to a qualified audit opinion 8-9, and also gained qualified, but it's not a normal qualification. It could not be avoided. If they keep on going as they are going, they should be okay. On the Afrikaans Taal Museum, it's a recurrent qualification. It was also highlighted. That fact was also highlighted by the ADIS office when they presented to the portfolio committee. We are trying our utmost with them to get a mechanism how to avoid this qualification, and we'll keep on doing so. We thought we had it covered, but. It wasn't so. The National Arts Council was also, they actually, under normal circumstances, operate quite well. And they've had unqualified audit reports now for a number of years. The problem arose from the fact that we transferred funds to them in 2008-09 to purchase a downtown studio, and they incorrectly accounted for that. So it's not a normal qualification that they would have. It was an abnormal circumstance. We are, as we speak, working with them to avoid that qualification in the current year. The Performing Arts Council of the Free State is a little bit problematic. The CEO has been suspended. The CFO has resigned at the 31st of March. The biggest problem there is the assets. We've already engaged with them on how to actually avoid that qualification and get the asset register going. But we would have had a meeting with council, the new council, but the chair got ill, so that meeting has been postponed to have a look at all the issues and to try and rectify them.
That then completes our
Acting DG. That explains now the qualified report. And since we have exhausted the report from the department, the next thing for me to do is to allow the questions that of clarity and questions from our portfolio committee here. Honourable Shiva.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and our acting DG with the entourage and her briefings. As far as the gender representative, that's my question time and again. I think I'm still seeing boys choir or rugby team among the department, that we don't see ladies. I think you somehow, you know, take it lightly that we are there. We are not satisfied as the portfolio committee. As far as our constitution is saying, is stating that gender parity have to be considered. So I'll be focusing on the management. I have got three questions focusing on the management of the Auditor General's opinion. Only three questions. How does this success relate to the actual meeting of the stated opinion, let's say stated priorities of the department as far as Auditor General's report is concerned? That's my first question. My second question is that the department often raised concerns about adequate funding. What is your future plan to make a significant impact on the lives of our own people in South Africa? My last question is that time and again, we're talking of some outstanding issues in Robben Island. There are a lot of allegations in Robben Island. Which one wants to know? How can we have that qualified financial audit report? Because it seems as if there are a lot of problems in Robben Island. The other last question, which is not that irrelevant, but relevant somehow. Time and again when we visit Robben Island, we get a distorted history. As I said, it's a lot, but a big concern. A distorted history of Robben Island. Our tour guides, sort of like, you know, are giving wrong information or wrong history about Robben Island. One is a problem. What somehow is the motive behind that people are given, more especially tourists, are given wrong history about Robben Island? It's just but for information's sake. I'm really worried about that, really. Our tour guides are not that, I don't know whether I can say immature or maybe not trained to tell the tourists the correct history of the history of Robben Island. I think I gave you more than four questions. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mashibase. I think we have to understand each other here. We'll be giving, let's say, about 3 minutes for everyone who is speaking, so that we don't have a situation where we just prolong our questions. But I think Mashibase was trying to emphasize something, and he didn't go further than that 3 months. Who is the next one? Honorable. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is under arts and culture in society. What specific program have you implemented in creating caring society in line with your stated vision? And the second one, how many jobs created during this financial year? Thank you. Then the response will come from the department. Have we got another head? Honorable Dabane.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My first question is based on the document we're talking to in your presentation. Didn't you have any challenges in service delivery? If you did, why they don't form part of this document? I received this document this morning. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to go through it. So the one I received is this one. So my questions are based on this document, because I did have chance to go through this one. In page 38 of this, it is stated that actual achievement. First draft of the Department Property Management Policy has been developed, however, not approved and implemented. What I want to find out now is why is it not implemented? Because to me, I think this is very important. And then in page 50, at the bottom of that page, you have written that if the event or project was not undertaken, it was a result of budgetary reprioritization. Why these documents, I'm sorry, why is this budget for events not indicated? That have not been undertaken, because there is no event or project here that has been indicated to be not undertaken. Why is that? And then again, in page, I'm sorry for this. In page 86, irregular expenditure. Firstly, I'm sorry about this. I forgot to mention this before I put my questions. I really appreciate and I recommend that you have got an unqualified report. Let us really appreciate that. And then under irregular expenditure.
We have 1 minute now.
1 minute. When were these investment instituted? That is, irregular expenditure, item number 10. When were these investments instituted? Hey, let me go to the last important one to me. In page 110, under total revenue, under expenditure again, in page 110, you've got under compensation of employees. I don't know, I think it is $146,000,071. And then, under the same heading, in page 78, I don't think this is fair.
Chief, okay. Point of order, Chief. Can I have a point of order, Chief?
Yes.
Chief, this committee has got the opportunity to discuss the annual report. And with the department. Out of this, we will have got to go with our BRRR, linking it with the MTEF. And if we're not going to allow members to dissolve some issues and get clarity on these issues, number one, the minister is going to be bombarded in parliament with a whole lot of questions and ranges, which we could have clarified here. And I think it's very not all of the members have spoken. So I would urge you just to have some leeway if a member is just trying to resolve a question or put a question forward, and take it in that sense, please, ma'am.
Thanks for your concern, but I think we all want to ask questions, and you are going to have a second lap and a third lap of asking questions. I'm trying to conduct the meeting. Yes. Thank you.
Now for questions, if it's the second or the third lap, then I'll wait.
Thank you, Chair. I think you just didn't make it clear that there will be a second and a third lap. So taking into consideration that my first round is 3 minutes, I'm happy with that.
Chairperson,
thank you. The DG referred to the cultural laws, the third amendment bill. Just a clarity on actually on how far that was. The issue surrounding the 20 World Cup and the actual expenditure and what the economic flow was in order to create small medium enterprises, the SMEs. I just wanted to understand if the department did some research in order to see if there were some positive returns from your from outside of investment. The rollovers on your cost of the 407 million rand expenditure that we did not utilize. You said that 80 million rand was returned. Was the 18 million plus the 12 million? Is that the balance of the 407 that was actually returned? I just wanted to get clarity on that so we can understand what we actually lost as a department. And your vacancy rate that you determine on the 26%, is that the 26% of your actual base, and not taking into account what the new organogram has actually the implications of that, so that we can determine if you do something about your base, although the organogram has actually grown. Chair, and I will leave my second round for Nona.
So can the department respond to those few questions? Thank you, Chairperson. I think Honourable Mashivasa, we note you have indicated this, as you said, on numerous occasions, the gender representativity in the department, and fortunately I've got my new principal with me here. So they will also assist us in ensuring that we address that and we attend to that. The Auditor General, your question on the Auditor General and report and how it talks to our stated priorities of the department. I'd like to say that when they do the audits, they look at what we had indicated that we were going to do, especially in the predetermined objectives where our priorities are indicated. And then they had not given us any opinion in terms of what they've, their audit opinion in terms of that, but actually they've alerted us to the fact that we need to strengthen the way we present our targets in terms of what we want to achieve, and also our indicators in terms of ensuring that our strategic plan talk to those stated priorities. So they have cautioned us and alerted us, and we have since now sought the intervention of Treasury to assist us in terms of ensuring that we clearly state and articulate or state our priorities and our indicators and our targets. So they've alluded to that. In terms of Robben Island and problems encountered there, you mentioned the issue of the distortion in the history and the tour guides, and you also mentioned the issue of the challenges. We have, as members are aware, Robben Island has been without a CEO and a council for a while. And as an intervention measure, what the department did was to second a CEO to assist, but also we fast-tracked the process of ensuring that there's proper governance in the institution. With an appointed council in place now, as well as a CEO who has been appointed, we are, I would say, almost confident or hopeful that those would be the issues of the past, that the team that has been put together to guide and govern Robben Island will actually deliver on that mandate. We know the CEO in the heritage sector, the new CEO has been in the heritage sector for a while. Also, the chairperson is headed by Honourable Tandi Modise, and we trust that the council will assist the new CEO to ensure that there's proper governance in Robben Island. You indicate that you mentioned that for the issue of the distortion of the history, I'm just mentioning it. But I think it's something that we will have to look into. We'll really have to raise it with the new CEO and so that it is addressed. It would be unfortunate that tourists come to South Africa and are not given the true facts or the true history about Robben Island, which is one of our World Heritage sites. So it's a matter that we are flagging and we'll take up with the Robben Island management. Thank you for alerting us to that. My colleagues will indicate there if there's anybody who wants to assist me, if you will allow me, Chairperson. Okay, thank you. The Honourable Member, around the issue of question around jobs created in the current financial year would be through our Investing in Culture program, mainly. That is our main job creation program. In the current financial year, 2010-2011, when we started the current financial year, there was a moratorium in terms of the Investing in Culture, as I had indicated, because we were still in conducting those investigations on allegations of corruption and fraud. It is only just recently that we have resuscitated that program. And not unless Dr. Chogwene would like to come in and assist here, but we have not as yet done a count in terms of how much jobs have been created through that program. But we will keep records of the funding that we give out and the projects that we're funding and the amount of employment opportunities that are created through those funded projects. Creating a caring society is not an easy task. But what we have done is through the moral regeneration movement that the department is partly funding, a values charter was established and launched in July last year. It was a consultative process that was engaged to come up with a charter that will inform the values that we as South African citizens would like to live by. And I also am aware that just recently the Heritage National Heritage Council has also had a conference on exactly that, on the issue of Ubuntu. So, Honourable Member, we have got those programs that we are undertaking to try and promote that caring society in our country. But as I had indicated, it is not an easy task to ensure that we have got that. We're putting the building blocks that are going to assist us in realizing that objective. I will ask the Honourable to respond to the Honourable Member. I'll ask the CFO to go through these questions that were asked relating to financial questions as well as the issues that you raised, Honourable Member, from the annual report itself. My apologies that you only got the document today. Thank you.
If I can respond to the first one on the irregular expenditure, the 60 million, a major portion of it relates to irregular expenditure that was highlighted in the 2008-09 financial year, but it emanated actually from an investigation into the hosting of the closing event of the 26 World Cup, that we ended with an amount of 54 million. The SIU is in investigating that, so that has actually started. Then there was 6 million rand that was irregular expenditure 2008-09 year. We've requested the condonement of that from the National Treasury, but we've not received any feedback on it, and there was a 300,000 rand, a small issue that was actually wrongly highlighted as irregular expenditure in the 2008-09 year as well. So yes, for a larger portion is being investigated, as it started being investigated by the SIU during the course, I think, of the start of the year somewhere. You caught us out on that compensation of employee. I was now flabbergasted to see it should be 1462271 and not 1462279. I don't know how that happened, and we apologize for that. Is that on the facilities management? Page 38. Yes. So you said that the first draft of the DAC property management policy has been developed, however not approved and implemented. That has been done. This reflected up until the 31st of March, so that those gaps have been closed. I'm not sure if I can answer the expenditure on the 150 million rand World Cup. We spent under about 150 million rand over the 3 years on the World Cup. What is it? What is the return on investment? I personally don't know. I don't think there's been any investigation on that from our side. But yes, I don't really know. On the rollovers, of the total amount of saving, we received 30 million, 18 million rand in respect of investing in culture, and then the full 12 million rand on the World Cup. That was mostly. It was capital. The saving wasn't capital, but because of slow spending, you can't get the rollovers. There's just no way that you'll be able to spend that amount in the current financial year.
Thank you. On the issue of the cultural laws amendment bill, I'm going to ask my colleague over Tim Van Dima to just respond to that, how far we are on that process.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, DG. In terms of the cultural law that amendment bill, we were supposed to present it this year, but because of...
You are not audible enough. Can you come near to the microphone?
Honorable Chairperson, and we were supposed to present it this year, but because of some further refinements of the bill, we are going to be presenting it early next year. Thank you.
And then in terms of the vacancy rate, this was for the previous financial year, and we have since got a new establishment that has been approved. So what we have done now is we've got the figures in terms of what the structure should be like. We have approached Treasury in terms of funding because we don't have enough in our compensation of employees budget to fill every vacancy in the structure. But also if it's not the actual base in terms of that, because this is talking to the old structure and we've got a new structure now in place.
Now, can we have another round of... oh, yes. I'm going to give you a chance.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, just to link to the last question on legislation, I'm worried about the department's slow process with policy and legislation. Because another important piece or two pieces of legislation that has been there for, I think, since 2000 is the Language Practitioners Council Bill. Every year it is stated in the annual report that this bill will be presented to Parliament in that year, and it never happens. Another one that's also worrying me is the South African Languages Bill, because that has to be tabled to comply with a High Court order that was issued in March this year, where the judge said that the department has two, or the minister, the former minister, has 2 years in which to table legislation in this regard. And I don't see anything about that legislation anywhere in the annual report. Where are we on that? Then something that's also worrying me, Chair, is the project. Because one sees throughout the report that projects have been postponed or cancelled due to budgetary constraints or budgetary reprioritization. Now, what is the status of the different projects? Are there projects that are going to be cancelled? that are going to be postponed, and I'm looking specifically at community arts centers, libraries, etc. Do you still have budgetary constraints and reprioritization in this regard? And then just lastly, in terms of the downtown studio, because in the Auditor General's report, it was mentioned that this was an amount of $7.5 million was transferred to National Arts Council without the Minister's written approval. What is the status at this point of the downtown arts studio? How is it being operated and who manages it?
Before I allow someone else to speak, you know, we didn't notify you people about the tea outside. I don't know whether it's there. Yeah, those who would like to have some tea can take a cup and come sit inside. Machina?
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to have my second bite. I'll be focusing on program per program. Why program to underspend an amount of 13 million? Program 3, I mean, it was during a period of a review. Why program 3 underspend an amount of 844,000 still during this review period? Program 4 still again underspend an approximately an amount of 14 million. 41 million. Again, program 5 still underspend an amount of 352 million. One would like really to understand why this underspending, when we know that our program, our country is in dire need of this arts and culture. So at least we see some changes in our lives, or in our people's lives. Why this understand when we're crying that without arts and culture, we're going nowhere? Because other countries, really, we can see their cultures, how they really perform. Even the poor person can really get something from this cultural activity, so whatever they can. But we still have this lot of underspending. Can you please respond to that?
Maybe let me ask a question, simple question here. How you have aligned your program with South Africa policy on international relations? Can we have someone else? Yes, Nyalo.
Thank you, Chair. Under Program 6, on the briefing of today. You said seven new community libraries were built. Two libraries will be completed in the new financial year. 43 libraries were upgraded nationally. But you just generalized. I just want you to be specific. On how many provinces have they got? They've got maybe one, or if you can just specify on that. And then my second question, I want to ask you, why do you have so many acting people in position of management for such a long period of time? Just wanted clarity on that. Thank you.
No. Thank you, Honorable Sir. Honorable Sir, I put the question in the first round. I didn't hear it being answered. The question I didn't hear it answered is, didn't the department experience challenges in service delivery? It did. Why they don't appear in this document? And then another question which was not answered fully is differences in figures in page 110 and page 78. He only answered in sort of one question, and there are a lot of them. He actually has a conversation of employees, and goods and services, friendships, and others are just not the same in page 110 and page 78. Those actually were the first questions in the first round. I'm asking now the question in the second round now. Again, in page 110, under revenue. In 2008-2009, Department of Revenue was 3,754,000, I think so, because it's 3,554. I assume these are millions. And then in 2010, it has gone down to 1,097,000 rand. I think these are millions, I said. The question now is, why now is it less than in the previous financial year? And another question is on the damage to hired vehicles. Actually, we have said in your briefing that there are investigations and disciplinary hearings. What I want to find out now, if your employees were on the wrong, are they going to repay the money that has been paid by the department to fix these damages in the hired cars? I don't know whether I still have time, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you so much. In irregular expenditure of 2008 and 2009, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it has not been yet condoned. What I want to find out now, why is this not yet condoned up until now? Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Can we have another hand? Okay. Thank you, Chair. I would like to refer to Program 2, and it talks about the completed memorandum of understanding in the performing arts sector, and it talks that this monitoring evaluation tool was not implemented. I just actually want to try to understand why wasn't that actually, that understanding, that memorandum of understanding, why wasn't it pulled through? And then also the compliance with the NAC Act for the appointment of the National Arts Council, the position on that, because in your report it states that it wasn't done. On the National Archives of South Africa, you talk about targets that you've set, and I'm trying to understand the basic SMART principles. What was your actual base? Because you say what you want to achieve and what you need to do, but I don't understand what your actual backlog is in that, and maybe you need to readdress your KPIs in order to make them a little bit better. The performing arts institutions, do you do a economic research to determine if the funding that you do give to those institutions are sufficient, and if they are not, have you got contingency plans in order to deal with that? You also spoke in your report that your income in the sector has gone down from 3.5 million to 1 million rand. I was just trying to catch the page, but I'll probably catch that later. And then your bursary towards language education or language skills. Are any of those bursaries formulated to a some sort of a disability, especially the blind or those. I just want to see if there's outreach towards that sector and your commitment of your department in that sector, maybe percentage-wise, that we don't focus just on the 11 languages, but we do focus maybe on the sign language or the Braille. And I just wanted to understand that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Muma. Thank you, Chairperson. In auditor general opinion, I just want to ask a question. Firstly, I'm encouraged by the fact that the department has received a qualified opinion from the auditor general report. How does this success translate to the actual meeting of the stated priorities of the department? Second one, the department often raised concern about the inadequate funding. What is your future plan to make significant impact on the lives of the people?
Now, I think we can have responses if we start with the ones that were left over from the first list that were asked by Honorable Tambani.
Thank you, Chair. Apologies, Honorable Member, for not addressing your questions adequately. In the report, we've highlighted the challenges, sort of the achievements and activities. One of the main overarching challenges in delivering on our mandate is the issue of the capacity. For the past financial year, the past DG has operated on his own in terms of senior management. Without the Deputy Director General positions complete the field, he had then managed to get two of the colleagues to act in DDG positions. And that cripples their positions as well, because then they have to double up. So for us, that has been the major challenge in terms of ensuring that we are delivering on our mandate. We could have done more. And that is why, therefore, we have, in June, for instance, we advertised all the DDG positions that are in the new structure. And in September, we advertised all the chief director positions that are in the new structure, because we feel that with those positions filled, it would assist to alleviate the challenges that we experience. That we believe is the main challenge that confronts us in terms of ensuring that we deliver on our mandate. I'm going to ask the CFO to respond to the questions around discrepancies in the figures that you feel that he was not clear on.
So yes, I actually don't know what to answer to you, because there's one figure that doesn't correlate. I did not have time to have a look at the others as well to see if they don't match as well. My assumption was that they would match. They were audited by the AG's office. I'm actually quite surprised by this. So I don't actually know what to answer. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't know why. I really don't have an answer to that. And I've not had time now to have a look at each and every one corresponding.
We'll come back to your other questions. Oh, no.
Through your chair, I think we should say, if there's any figure that is wrong, should be corrected. But I think for us just to say we don't know why it's not adequate, Team CFO, I think we just need to go back and look at what would have been the cost. It may not be a major thing that will change the report in terms of its main content, but just going forward to see what would, should have been the correct figure. Maybe there isn't enough time here to do that, but by the time we get to engage again with the committee, we'll be able to see what created the discrepancy of the figures. I think that's what we should see.
Thank you. I was just about to comment on the response. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Satisfied, Honorable Tambo?
Yes, yes. Thank you, Honorable.
Now we proceed. Sorry. Thank you, Chair. To Honorable Lotus' questions, which were the first and second round, I will ask Dr. Zogweni to respond to your questions around the language bill. But I must say that we do have a program that we are planning to adhere to, and we are committed to ensure that we stick to these dates. We are planning to submit the Language Practitioners Bill, Council Bill, to Cabinet in April. We've got a plan. And we are planning to also submit the South African Languages Bill to Cabinet in April. And in terms of our plan, we're hoping that both bills will be submitted to Parliament by August 2011. That's what we have on our plan. Dr. Chogan, do you want to add on?
Thank you, DG, Honorable Member. Just to say that...
Your mic.
Thank you, Acting DG and Honorable Members and the Minister. Just to say that, yes, indeed, there is a plan in place for the submission of the two bills on language, but then also to say that the delay, amongst other things, over and above the consultation processes, was also caused by the need that arose to have the business case developed so that it should go along with the business case when it is And also maybe on the same issue on the language around the extension of the skills development program to cater for other needy people and also the sign language. I would like to say that the bursary scheme that we're talking about is open for a wide range of skills within the language field. Amongst other universities that are currently benefiting, the University of the Orange Free State is working hand in hand with the department that deals with the sign language there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chogan. The issue of community arts centers and community libraries, Honorable Member, is in terms of funding, continues to be a challenge because they are in terms of their management and administration, they are the competency of the provincial departments. However, what we've done with the libraries is to go through the conditional grant route, and that has assisted us a great deal in addressing that. And with community arts centers, we have had, for instance, a request from provinces to assist them with the upgrading of the community arts centers, but due to the fact that of the division of, through the Division of Revenue Act, what we are planning to do again is go through the conditional grant route so that we ensure that these community arts centers are also really taken care of and are vibrant and they assist us to make them, turn to them into what they were supposed to be in the first place, expected to deliver on in the first place. So that's our strategy in terms of dealing with the challenges around the community arts centers. The downtown studios, the previous ministers had appointed and inaugurated a council to look after the governance and management of the downtown studios. And they have since appointed a CEO to assist them. They are presently in a transitional stages, because currently their funding is still administered by the National Arts Council. So they are setting themselves up as a Section 21 company, and I know that they've also set banking accounts, and they've engaged with the National Arts Council to ensure that then the management is transferred from the Arts Council to the council that the minister has appointed and inaugurated to manage the studios. Mashibas, the underspending on the programs, we appreciate your concern, honourable member, and in terms of program two, Arts and Culture and Society, that 13 million that was in underspent was mainly on the 2010 projects. And in the previous slide, we have indicated that we have asked for the rollover from, in the next slide, from Treasury, and we did get that that money back. We could not have spent on it by the end of March, because the World Cup was in June, but we then asked for Treasury, and they listened to our plea, and they gave us that money back. So at least that one was returned by Treasury. The program four is mainly on investing in culture, which, yes, we agree that it's a program that has been established in the department to assist in poverty alleviation and ensuring that we provide employment opportunities in the sector. We have since gotten 18 million rands back from Treasury as a rollover in view of that underspending in that program. And the moratorium on the spending through investing in culture has been lifted, so we have gone back now. We are continuing to fund projects on investing in culture. The last one is the 351 million. That is huge. It's unfortunate that it's reflected in Program 5, very important program on heritage promotion. However, it is the capital risk projects, because most of our institutions are heritage institutions. So the capital risk projects, therefore, resides in that program. And we did go to Treasury for a rollover, and we got the rollover. The challenge with that capital risk budget is spending on the budget. But we have brought in some intervention strategies. We have engaged with Treasury, and we also looking at, because our spending on capital works budget has got to be channeled through the Department of Public Works. And we experience a lot of challenges in terms of ensuring that we spend in that area. But what we, I don't know whether Mikey wants to talk to what we're planning to do, but we're planning to then engage Treasury to see whether we cannot transfer funds directly to the institutions, so that the institutions themselves then can then source the services to either repair the institutions, renovate them, and also where they're planning to make some additions to their structures. So we bring in those types of intervention strategies so that we don't see a repeat of a huge amount of underspending in capital works. In the department itself, we've set up a capital works committee to look specifically and review the spending periodically. We're meeting on a monthly basis, and where possibly we even have some ad hoc meetings so that we keep tabs on how far we are on the spending in terms of capital works projects. But yes, it doesn't look good to be underspending when, as you say, we need to be delivering on our arts and culture mandate. But we
we're trying to put some system, we're putting some systems in place to ensure that, especially on capital works budget, we spend on that budget. I will request Mr. Ndima to respond to the question on the library. Chair, may I be excused?
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Acting DG Chairperson. I think the question here was the fact that the report was very general, it was not specific, and one is trying to address that. We spoke about seven libraries that have been established. Now, I want to be specific and say that they've been established in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape. Going to the specifics, we have Headquarters Library in Mohale City and Sipelo in Midvale Municipality in Gauteng. Those are the two libraries in Gauteng. And we have got Siyabuswa Library, Tweefontein, Msogwaba, and West Lutin Libraries in Mpumalanga. And in the Northern Cape, we have completed Nsikelelo Thida Library in Richmond. Now, in terms of the other libraries that will be open soon, it's Fetakhomo and Thulamela in Limpopo, Bartley West and Hartwater in the Northern Cape, Randfield in Gauteng. And I want to remember, you have also asked about the 43 upgraded libraries. Unfortunately, we don't have a list. But just to say briefly that when we talk about upgrading, we're talking about not necessarily looking at the physical infrastructure like the building, but we're also looking at the library material that was purchased. We're talking about 345,195 library material that were purchased, but also looking at focusing some of the programs on the visually impaired, like the brain. We're working with the provinces to ensure that in the community libraries you have got facilities that can enable the visually impaired to access information. We're also talking about the republication of African literature classics that have been out of the libraries for a very long time, so we're bringing them back and doing the republication. But also we're looking at the improvement of information technology, ICTs, as well as ensuring that there are adequate staff members within the library. So when we talk about upgrading, we're looking at it as a much more holistic fashion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Ndima. I don't know whether there are other questions that have to be responded to. Thank you.
I just want to make just a few comments. Firstly, on the bills, because particularly the language one that has taken too long. We've agreed with the Deputy Minister this morning with the team that we would like to see those bills processed early in the year. So once we've gone to back to Cabinet with all of them, we'd like to get them to Parliament sooner. Obviously, we have no control of the processes in Parliament, but we will make sure that you know, we're done with all of them in February. So through the leader of government business, I'm sure they should come to Parliament sooner. We don't know what is the load in terms of legislation in the process of Parliament. But we do take the point that there shouldn't be delays going forward on those pieces of legislation. On vacancies, just to say that we've also agreed with the management team that we should fill all the management posts before end of this financial year, all of them, including critical posts. We don't want to hit the new financial year with anybody acting.
so you can monitor us on that. But we believe we have enough time between now and March next year. We should fill all those posts, including the posts of the DG. Of course, it's fairly new because the DG resigned 2 months ago in September, so it's fairly new. But we were concerned ourselves that there are senior managers who have been in acting positions for more than a year, which should not be the case. So that's our time frame in terms of we obviously would not fill in all the posts by end of the financial year, but if we can complete senior management posts, DDGs, chief directors, I think the rest will roll from there. On funding, honorable members were saying that we have in the past raised the fact that this department has not been funded adequately. Obviously, what we need to do before engaging with Treasury, we need to relook at our programs. Because it might not be helpful to go to Treasury and say, but we need more money. The question would be for what? So we will need to, once again, now that we have a new structure, relook at those programs so that we are able to then engage with Treasury in a proper way. Spending on capital works, I think as the DG said, we also don't want to come to Parliament and sound as if we're complaining about public works. So what our plan is that where we have capital money to spend in institutions, whether it's Robben Island or museums, for maintenance or new buildings, we should be able to channel those resources directly to spend in those institutions rather than going via public works. And it's something that the acting DG was saying, Treasury seem to be agreeable with that, as long as we can do it properly and account properly, because I'm sure that public work is overloaded with a whole lot of things. And the reason I'm raising this in the committee is because even though that $351 million can be brought back to us now, we may not be able to spend it, even in this financial year, unless we implement this mechanism. We may come back here next year and you'll see a big under expenditure on capital works because nothing is happening. So we are setting up that strategy to try and get this money where it's needed, because some of those institutions are falling apart, and then we can't sit and say we are waiting for public works. So we hope that that will work. Just lastly on Robben Island, that in addition to the new board, the council, and the new CEO, I think Robben Island is going to need a turnaround strategy. And I think it's something that we will discuss with the Deputy Minister to ensure that it doesn't go on the way it's going. So we'll immediately discuss it. We'll engage with the new board to come up with a turnaround strategy. We need to have proper recording of the history, its interpretation, and the tourist guides who are trained to use a consistent script. You see, tourists must not say what they think when they wake up. You go according to the script. Because this you are passing from generation to generation. So we can't rely on a memory of someone because maybe they happen to be in Robben Island at one point or the other. Tour guides must be trained on script. This is the history. So it's almost like you read it. You don't say what you think. But that's why I'm saying you need a turnaround strategy there. There are issues about the boats. We were embarrassed at some point to hear that, you know, people come from England and they are told, no, you know, the boat is broken, it's not going out. We can't have that. So that's why I'm saying we are not saying because there's a new CEO and council, things are resolved. We need a turnaround strategy. We need to make sure that we are able to have that place operate properly. you know, and so it's something that we will address. We will give ourselves a target period once we've discussed with the Deputy Minister how long it will take us to turn that place around. I don't want to say it now because it will be just thumbsuck. We have not discussed it, but it is my view that we do need to turn it around. Otherwise, the DA is going to say to us, give it to the Western Cape to manage. You guys are failing. I was wondering, I thought you were going to say this morning, give us Robben Island. We will turn it around, Chairperson. I think it's a small place for us. Me and the Deputy Minister have a lot of experience of turning institutions around. And Robben Island is a very small place. So I think we should turn it around. It must operate properly. We must have boats that go there. You know, you can't have a situation where tourists are coming all over the world and are waiting for a boat to be fixed. But I don't want the issue of Robben Island going forward to become an issue of this committee. I think let's attend to it and sort it out. I think those are just the issues I wanted to comment on.
Thank you, Minister, for that elaboration on the questions that were asked. Just pardon. Okay. I'm told that Honorable Nxumalo, you had your hand up. I think they are still going to proceed. Yes. But before I answer my woman's question, I think there was also a question on the appointment of the NAC Council. Mm-hmm. And I think Dr. Chopin can assist us there because I know there's a process is in place as far as that is concerned. Dr. Chopin.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. The closing date for the nomination has passed. And right now, the process is the sorting out of the application and also the nomination of the panel to do the shortlist. And after that, the appointment will be done. Thank you.
And on the issue of the economic research on funding, this is one of the deliverables that we've got in terms of funding model for all the institutions. Not just including the performing arts institution. So it's one of our deliverables for this financial year that will conduct that research and do a funded model. We've already started with it anyway. We're in the process of establishing a funding model that's going to inform our funding of all our institutions. And our acting CFO here is in charge of that. So that's one of the projects that we've got. The investing in culture program, its main objective was exactly to address your question in terms of impacting on the lives of the people. And we have then used that program to provide funding to the budding heritage practitioners, your crafters, your small designers, to ensure that they not only improve on their skills, but that they also provide growth opportunities in the communities and areas in which they live. During our closing ceremony in Shanghai, for instance, we had a fashion
what you call the succession design, where we had young designers from South Africa, a fashion show, where we had young designers from South Africa going there to showcase their skills. But what was of importance about this particular show was that we took a woman from Mampondwe, Port St. John's, and that woman dressed the models and to enhance the designs using the beadwork. So, which was a one of the first in terms of ensuring that we also showcase the South African craft expertise. At the end of that show, she came to us to report to say that she's been inundated with requests for more, and she sold everything that she had there. That's just one example of what we are trying to do to impact on the lives of the people of South Africa. It's a huge task, and we're not taking it lightly. But we also want then to look into it and ensure how we can then improve on it, and ensure that there's so many other stories that we can come and tell to the honourable members with pride. I hope that I've addressed that. Yes.
I'd like to just, Chairperson, just add without making a speech. maybe first let me just also ask members to read what I say in the report. You see the something called the foreword by the Deputy Minister of Arts and Culture. I think also in the medium-term strategic framework. And if you read there, you'll see that the point we are making, Honorable Numal, is that the arts and culture sector has a potential to be a major contributor to the economy in terms of growth, creation of jobs, and in a way we need to reposition it to do that. I do mention in the foreword, for instance, the creation of a National Skills Academy as one major intervention. But the industry exists, and I think it is on the basis how we interact with the industry to make sure that we create a conducive environment for it to make that contribution even much better. And that's something we're going to work on. When I was talking to the Minister of Economic Development, who requested that we come with a very comprehensive strategy for the creative sector, for the cultural sector, to include in the growth path, so that we can then impact the whole process of transformation, creating a better life. Because you would know that our sector includes things like the film, for instance. We've got a film foundation. So we need to work with film producers in South Africa to ensure that through film, you know, there's more economic activity, the music industry itself, art galleries. So I think it's something we will come back to in the course of our work to ensure that we look at this potential. How do we enhance this potential for the economic sector to be a major player in terms of impacting on the quality of life, changing the lives of our people for the better? So I'm sorry I've made a speech, but it's a very complex question to see how we impact on the mandate. But we do need to move to a level where arts and culture is not seen as an events management department. I know a lot of you call us when there's a jazz festival.
Minister, can I get tickets? 2010. That's not our job. It's our job is not to run jazz festivals and give tickets. This department is at the forefront of building social cohesion and nation building, promoting symbols, and we need to make sure that that's how it's repositioned. But at the same time, it's a major player in the economy. And you've seen, I think in one of my many speeches, I've alluded to the fact that the technical services industry contributes more than 8 billion rand per annum in the economy. And it's just one aspect without looking at the music industry. If you look at the United States, music industry is huge, music and film. And so that's the sector that we work in, and we can enhance its potential. But we need to reorganize ourselves. As the DG was saying, we need to get there. We've got a new structure. We must fill positions so that we can go and interface with the sector, with the capacity we require. Because then you'll be able to see whether the budget we are getting is making that impact. Are there more people that are being trained who are participating in these sectors and so on. So we will, with the course of time, we'll be able to answer that question crisply once we have repositioned ourselves in that way.
Thank you, Minister. I don't think really you're making a speech more than you have clarified some of the areas that we're concerned about in terms of the report that we have just received and the situation you find yourselves in the department. I don't know whether someone wanted to say something. I saw a hand up. Yeah. But, yes, I'm going to allow you to speak. I just want to know from the DG whether you've got something else, because my question hasn't been answered, your alignment of programs on the South and South African policies and international relations.
Thank you, Chair. And also, I think the Honourable Member's questions on the vehicles and that. Let me allow the CFO to answer that, and then I'll ask the Chief Director of International Cooperation to answer your question, Madam Chair. Thank you.
You had, I think, three issues still outstanding. Why did revenue come down from 3.5 million to 1 million? Austin Culture is not actually an income generating institution. It would have possibly income relating to photocopies for archival documents and the like. And the discrepancy in the revenue, why it came down, we give a lot of funds to groups, individuals for various projects, say for 1 million rand. If some of the funds are not spent, that's to come back to the revenue account. They can't utilize that to actually get a car or something like that. So from 1 year to the next, you would have an up and down on that revenue. On your question on the damage to hiring of vehicles, each case is referred to the state law advisors, and they make a pronouncement if the person is guilty or not, or it should be recovered. But in adding to that, a government official actually has got lots of cover. If you're not under the influence of alcohol, drugs, was not off your route, and you were not reckless, by and large, the state law advisors actually concedes in your favor. Your question on why was the amount of irregular expenditure, fruitless expenditure, not owned yet? We had a bad situation in finance. I don't even work in finance, but I had to go to finance last year, and in the middle of last year, there was no director. So there was no historical knowledge of things, when we realized that these previous irregular and fruitless expenditures had not been addressed yet, we put the submissions into the systems, and most of them, I think two of them, have been approved in the current year, and it will be rectified. And the one from the Treasury on the 5.6 million, we're still waiting for an answer on that. And if I may go back to the comparing of the figures. Did you refer to page 111, 110 versus 78?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You had me going there for a while. The one on 78 is about the amount available, the amount that we've got available. That's the appropriated amount with all the environment shifts. And the one on 110 is the actual expenditures relating to that year. So there would obviously be a discrepancy here and there. When you ask the question, you have to think about so many things. And when I had time, I had a look at it. Sorry about that. But I think that has been clarified.
Thank you. Louis?
Thank you, DG, Honourable Chairperson. I have a fairly loud voice. You asked a question about the alignment of our international relations programs with South Africa's foreign policy. And yes, we do. We do, of course, have our own mandate, and mainly our international programs are the internationalization of our domestic mandate. So first and foremost, we look at creating opportunities for South African artists. We look at promoting South African arts abroad. And then also the two-way traffic in terms of the global agenda on arts and culture to bring that back into South Africa again. But in terms of alignment with South African foreign policy, yes, we do serve, or we are a member of the ICTS cluster, the International Cooperation, Trade and Security Cluster. We're also a member of the Cooperative Forum of International Relations, which is chaired by the Department of International Cooperation, International Relations and Cooperation. And we follow the cabinet-approved guidelines on the coordination of international relations that was approved in 2008. The foreign policy priorities as well, in terms of our focus first and foremost on consolidation of the African agenda. So these are within the broad South African foreign policy objectives, the South-South cooperation, North-South coordination, and so on. And then I think one aspect which we have more recently identified is that South Africa possibly needs a more coordinated policy on cultural diplomacy, the way that we conduct ourselves abroad in terms of culture. And we have made proposals to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to jointly host a conference on cultural diplomacy to unpack the concept and to, from that, develop a policy on cultural diplomacy. Those are the key issues. And then, of course, also in terms of the government's outcome 11 that talks to our global activities and foreign policy, we also input into that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Have you got any responses? Madam Chair, I think we have covered, except to Honourable Member, to say that we will take a note of your advice to improve on our KPIs, and we will look into that so that they are reflective of what we are planning to do. Thank you.
I would like to know from the honourable members where they are covered in your questions. Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm coming to that, yes. Just before that, welcome, Honourable Manuleka. Yes. We know that you have been engaged in other activities, but you managed to come.
Kungakhange kube kudala kuye kwabakhoke ingxaki esiyikhumbulayo phansi sonke yavela kakhulu phaya kwi-department yokuba siluze abanye ababalulekileyo ebebesebenza phaya ngenxa ye
impazamo ekubonakala bakhe siye zahlangabezana nabo directly. Londo ibonise ukuba nangezinye indlela isekungathi noko i-concern yami ilapha kule meko le ebendikhala ngayo kakhulu ye-monitoring ukuba ibisenziwa kanjani, okanye ke ngoku xa siyijika le nto sithi ke i-performance measures singabe zikhonana ezokuncedisana nesimo eso singaphinde kube lula ukuba kwenzeke into ezinjalo, si-rely kakhulu kuma-divisional heads. Singakhange kubekho indlela yokuncedisana nokulandela ukuba kuyenzeka na okulindelekileyo. Umbuzo wam ke ngokuba ingaba sinayo na i-system ezawusincedisa kuloo nto, mhlawumbi esingayihlanganisa ne-performance measures. Ukuba ngaba ikhona, ingaba how often do we apply that on an annual basis?
If honorable member were to say it in Tshivenda, I would be lost completely. But I would like to, one language I still want to learn. The honorable member is asking, especially with regards to the issues of monitoring and evaluation and putting up measures to evaluate the performance of the projects that we fund, because that's where the source of the huge allegations of fraud and corruption came from. So my understanding of the honorable member's question is, what measures have we put in place to ensure that a repeat of such does not take place? Fortunately, I've had Dr. Jogweni going to the provinces and consulting the provinces, and he's got a good answer for that, Dr. Jogweni. And there has been proposals by provinces themselves to assist us to monitor those projects and to enter into some agreements with them so that they can assist us, and they can, because they are there on the ground, instead of us, as you said, depending on our own capacity, which is very limited, to monitor what's happening on the ground. Dr. Jogweni, he's done a round throughout the country.
Thank you very much, Chair. Indeed, as the acting DG has just said, the major shortfall was in the lack of monitoring, as it has been mentioned, with specific reference to the project in investing in culture. What then has happened is that the provinces have been involved. We have indeed gone around to all provinces to ask for their assistance in the monitoring, and all of them have in principle agreed. The only province that hasn't been met yet is Gauteng, but also I believe very soon we'll be meeting with Gauteng. But all in all provinces have agreed to monitor, to assist the department in the monitoring of the investing in culture projects, because they are all scattered all over the what you call the local areas in the province. Thank you.
Shiva, sir?
I'm on last two questions. Let's say one question. As far as budgeting is concerned, can the department tell us their challenges and their problems in the department as far as budgeting is concerned? Challenges and problems.
Yes. I think I didn't even ask you whether you have answered all the questions. Before I allow Honorable Smal to come up with a question. Okay, you want to make a follow-up?
Yeah, it's to link it to her question. So
okay, fine. You can go on.
Most of the transfers in your budget allocations in your various programs were transferred to goods and services. About 90% of everything that I picked up gets transferred from one vote to goods and services. And it's linking with the problems of property not budgeting properly, I'm not sure. And also, is there a cap on how much you can actually transfer from a vote to another vote? I know there are caps, but I'm looking at some of the figures here, and I just need to understand the percentage of those caps in order to make sure that those are correctly done.
Now I'm trying to wrap up here. Do you have any other questions? Yes.
Thanks, Chairperson. Mine is on the suspension. I just want to know why the suspension of 20,000 members cost 22 million. Thank you.
Is there another question?
I didn't see that one.
Uh-huh. Okay, the department may proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think before I hand over to the CFO to respond to these questions, I just want to report to the members that for the better part of the 2009-2010 financial year, our budget was lumped into one. So what we have done from this financial year going forward in terms of addressing that challenge is to decentralize the budget, the program, so that the program managers and the project managers take full responsibility on the expenditures on their budget. They also indicate in terms of what their strategic objectives are and their priorities are, where they are going to spend, and of course informed by what we receive from Treasury and how much they are going to spend, and then they take full responsibility in terms of ensuring that they manage those budgets, and of course with the overall oversight of the Chief Financial Office. So that is one way that we have addressed a big challenge that we've had in the department. And perhaps that would talk to those transfers to goods and services that the Honourable Member was referring to at CFO.
Yes. As I said earlier, I got thrown into finance a little bit in the middle of the year last year. And what I found is that they would budget under household transfers for things like, for example, Heritage Day, which is a goods and services expenditure, and then that they would just do the environment shift. So that's why, a lot of these things actually happened. So we've tried from the new year, from this current year, to decentralize as acting BG has indicated, and also allocate the money appropriately under goods and services, because it just doesn't look good if you have these massive shifts from one item to the next. In terms of the rules, you are allowed to take away from households transfers to increase your goods and services, but you're not allowed to do it the other way around. Also, you're not allowed to transfer more than 8% from one program to the next. But interestingly enough, you are allowed to say cumulatively put 40% to another program. So we've identified that. We're actually working on that. We knew that in the current year it's not going to be perfect, but in 11-12 it should be actually much improved. The cost of the suspension of 22 million rand, that is legal costs. It is actually the cost of the people getting a pay as well, so it is an enormous amount. Yes.
Thank you. Do we have other questions?
Only one side of the problem of the question was, I don't think challenges and problems are is one thing. Challenges which you raised, but what about problems?
I'll try to answer that, Mashaba. You'll excuse me if I don't. But I think the major problem that we have in terms of our budget is that we're falling short on what we have in order for us to deliver on our priorities. What has been appropriated for us is not sufficient to assist us to deliver on our priorities. So then we have to start looking at what we have in the envelope and then cut the cake in terms of what we have. But we would have wanted, we have approached a Treasury to seek for additional funding so that we are able to effectively carry out our priorities. I think that's my understanding. I'm not sure of problem and challenge.
Okay. Maybe it's the English, and maybe the understanding is that one leads to the other.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have got problems, then you know you are challenged. Yes. I think that's how we can define this. Yes. I don't know whether we have other questions. We have exhausted all the questions from the honourable members. That comes then to the end of our discussions. I mean, deliberations on the reports that have been rendered to us. I thought I'm going to ask the House whether we can change these items, because I wanted to allow the new ministers to give us, maybe if they're interested in giving us, a talk of some sort. But the minister already has done so. I don't know whether he still need to address us.
The deputy minister was saying that because he's new compared to me, he's new. At least I'm new. I've been there. So he said, no, he'll just listen. Me, because I'm new, but not new, I was able to comment. No, we don't have much to say. Chairperson, we believe that we can work with the committee going forward. We are not expecting to be praised unduly. Where we do well, please praise us. Where we not, criticize us harshly. We are tough guys, so we can take punches. So let's work in that spirit. There's a lot that needs to be done, and I think we shouldn't just complain about money. You know, when you go to Treasury and say, I'm underfunded, and so they're going to say, what do you want money for? So I think what we will do with our team is to look at where do we need to improve. Because once we've done that, we can go back to Treasury. We've already gone to them for the structure, but we need money for programs. But let's get the programs right, and then we can then engage with our colleagues in Treasury going forward. So we're looking forward to working with yourselves with a very rigorous oversight, so that together we can position arts and culture properly in the country. Others, thank you very much for today. We will go and attend to some of the things you have pointed out that we should fix.
Thank you for that. You have ascertained us that you would like to work with us. I think on behalf of the portfolio committee, I may say this committee has welcomed you truly, and we have got confidence in you that you'll be working with us for the better part of this term, and therefore I think we should thank the management for the report that they have given us, and we hope that all the issues that have been put aside to be dealt with in the future, we will be successful in doing that, because I think our main objective, all of us, is to improve the lives of the South Africans. Thank you very much. Yes. I think we can remain, whether you would like to be released, but we've got another item as the portfolio committee, that of adopting minutes. I don't know whether you would like to leave. Okay. Before the meeting collapses,
see you next time.
Honorable Maluleka, can you occupy another seat?
Okay.